If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. We're actually going to be looking at the first 17 verses, but honing in on verses 10 through 17. Now, Luke chapter 9, specifically verses 10 through 17. So keep your finger there. We're going to be flipping around a little bit within Luke chapter 9, bouncing just a touch. And as we do, we're looking at a new perspective on the feeding of the 5,000. It's not brand new. It's obviously in Scripture. However, it's not what you typically would hear things focused on. I want to start off by sharing with you a little bit of insight into my parenting skills. Is that the right word for it? My parenting style, if you will. I like to blend my desire to see my kids have a good work ethic with my own laziness. So I've got kind of a way to blend those together. But my girls will ask me for something, and they'll want me to do something for them, and I'll reply to them with the phrase, "You've got two legs, go do it," right? Have you ever had that level of laziness in your parenting before? "Dad, can you grab me a napkin?" "You've got two legs, go get it." "Dad, can you hand me my book?" "You've got two little legs, go get it," right? "Dad, I need you to drive me to Vincent's to go to dance class." "You've got two legs," right? Well, okay, maybe not all the way to Vincent's, but you get my point, right? I'm trying to instill in them this good work ethic, and it's worked really well. They've learned that Daddy has a very important job of sitting on the recliner that he cannot get up and help with, right? So that's my parenting skills, if you will. This has worked beautifully up until recently when I looked at Ashton and said, "Ashton, can you hand Daddy the remote?" And what do you think she said to me? "Daddy, you've got two legs, you get it," right? Certainly our kids pick up on what we do, but really all of that to kind of point us to this illustration of developing a strong work ethic, not just with our kids, but in our own lives, right? We have this tendency in our fallen state, instead of doing things that we know we could be doing, we try to pawn them off on somebody else. And even those of you who are extremely diligent and hard workers, we have this tendency to slip into laziness. We have this tendency to work as little as possible and get the maximum results. Even people who have a strong work ethic have this saying, this phrase that they use, and it is, "Work smarter, not harder." Right? You've heard that before? How can I get the most done and put forth the least amount of effort? This morning, as we look at Luke chapter 9, and we see the feeding of the 5,000, there are probably a ton of different ways to approach Jesus feeding 5,000 people at once. Probably dozens of different sermons that have been written in different directions that have been taken about this miracle that Jesus performs. But I want to focus in on His calling for the disciples to do something, to be active. So in Luke chapter 9, we're going to focus on verses 10 through 17, but let's just start by looking at verses 1 and 2 to kind of see the context of this miracle. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 1, says, "Summoning the 12, that's the 12 disciples, he gave them power and authority over all the demons to heal diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." So this is the context of this chapter. Jesus gets the disciples together and sends them out. Verse 6 says, "They went out and traveled from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing everywhere." The context of this parable, this miracle, is that Jesus is sending the disciples to do something. Go out and do the ministry. Do the work. So with that context in mind, let's read our main section this morning, Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. "When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus all they had done. He took them along and withdrew privately to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds found out, they followed him. He welcomed them, spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and healed those who needed healing. Late in the day, the 12 approached and said to him, 'Send the crowd away so that they can go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find food and lodging, because we're in a deserted place here.' 'You give them something to eat,' he told them. 'We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, they said, 'unless we go and buy food for all of these people.' For about 5,000 men were there. Then he told his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. They did what he said and had them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them. He kept giving them to the disciples to set before the crowd. Everyone ate and was filled. They picked up 12 baskets of leftover pieces. Now this miracle is really one of the most popular miracles that Jesus does. And I think it's because it revolves around food. Everyone is drawn to this miracle because Jesus provides an abundance of food. I don't know, depending on the translation you have, mine says there were 5,000 men there. That doesn't mean they were all men. It's because when they counted numbers in the New Testament time, they normally counted men or heads of households. And they didn't count women and children in their numbers tally. And so while there were 5,000 men, if you include the women and children, there were estimates between 10 and 12,000 people there. And Jesus takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We find from the other Gospels that they were given by a young boy. Only one of those 12,000 people remembered to bring his lunch. And this young boy gives what he has, and Jesus blesses these 5 loaves and these 2 fish, and he feeds somewhere around 10 to 12,000 people. There are a ton of different directions we can go about God's providence, how he provides, how he can do the impossible. And we talked about God working the impossible last week. What I want to focus on this morning is Jesus calling to the disciples. In the context of Luke chapter 9, what Jesus is teaching the disciples is to go and do something. So I have 2 questions I want to ask this morning. There are questions printed in your bulletin. You can jot notes underneath them if you'd like. 2 questions to help us to understand what Jesus wants us to do. The first question is this: who is responsible to serve? Whose job is it to feed these 12,000 people? Whose job is it to carry out the ministry that Jesus has set before us? Whose job is it to go and take the gospel to the ends of the earth? Whose job is it to teach Sunday school class? Whose job is it to serve within the church? Whose job is it to share their faith to the neighbor? Who is responsible ultimately to do the service? You know, our tendency in our fallen state is to put responsibility on others. We have this knack, this inkling to take whatever work we're supposed to be doing and shove it on somebody else. And we do this in many different ways. Sometimes it's out of sheer laziness, to where we just don't want to work, and so we give it to someone else. Sometimes it's deflection of responsibility. I don't want to take credit or don't want to be responsible. I don't want to take fault if something goes wrong. Maybe we're delegators and you're a position of work that your job is to delegate to others in a godly way of distribution. But our natural tendency is to look at the work before us and to think somebody else should do this. We had a missionary that visited a previous church, and he would ask this question, always stood out to me: whose job is it to take the gospel message to the lost people in Africa? Whose responsibility is it to make sure the gospel is proclaimed to third world countries, places that you and I have never been? Whose job is it to go into China and make sure that through the underground church the gospel message is spread? Whose responsibility is it? And our natural inclination is go. We pay and support missionaries to go and to do. But the truth is, biblically speaking, we are to go into all the world. Do you know it is your responsibility that lost person in Iran hears the gospel message? Do you know it's your responsibility to make sure the faith is spread to the ends of the earth? Now, that doesn't mean that we will go every place on the planet. You and I, some of you have never left the country and maybe never will leave the country. But you still have a responsibility to do what you can to share the gospel message. Instead, we like to deflect. Let's send a missionary to do that. Let's pay someone else to do that. We do this in churches as well. One of the blessings I have of being the pastor at First Baptist Church, I'm so thankful for a congregation that are hard workers. Yesterday we had a vacation Bible school work day. I didn't even know how many were here. There were 6 here that were getting things ready for our Bible school here in just a few short weeks, or really about 2 months or less that we'll have Bible school. It was wonderful because we had some things going on in our house, and so Hannah called Dory and said, we're not going to be able to make it. And you know what? 6 people showed up and got a lot of stuff done. Now, we're thankful that we have a hard-working church. If we're not careful, though, our tendency is going to be to say, service projects need to be done. There's six people that will show up and do that. I don't need to be a part of that. There's work that needs to be done in the church. Somebody can do that. I have a coworker who needs to know Christ. I sure do hope somebody will share their faith with them. We have this tendency to shift blame and responsibility elsewhere. It's exactly what the disciples do in Luke chapter 9, verse 12. It says, late in the day, the 12 approached and said to him, send the crowd away so that they can go into the surrounding villages in the countryside to find food and lodging, because we're in a deserted place here. Think about all the excuses that the disciples had to send the people away. There's not enough food. We're in a deserted place. I'm sure the disciples were thinking, we're getting hungry and we need to eat. Look, I just ripped off these 5 loaves and 2 fish from this boy. We can feed ourselves. Send the people away. You know, for many of us, this is the mantra of our ministry. Send the problem away. Send the ministry away. Send the work away. Jesus responds not by saying, it's a good idea. There's no way we can feed 10 to 12,000 people. He responds very differently. He looks at the disciples and says, you see a problem. You recognize they're hungry. There is ministry before you. And when God gives us a ministry, it's because He wants us to do it. When God places something on your heart, it's because He is calling you to take action. He's not calling you to recruit someone. He wants you to get to work. That's why Jesus says in Luke 9:13, you give them something to eat. He says, you do it. The task that is on your heart is a calling for you to take action. And so we have all of these great ideas that God has laid on our hearts. And what is the first thing we do when God wants us to work and do something? We go to the pastor or the leadership of the church and wonder if the church can start a program to take it over. God is not calling the church to start 1,000 programs. He's calling the people of the church to get active and to do. So when someone comes to me and says, I've got this great idea, we should have everyone in the church invite people to come into their homes. That way they can get to know their neighbors a little better. I say, that's wonderful. Go and do that. Invite people into their homes. When you come and you say, my friend Sue needs to know the gospel. Can you come and witness to them? It's great that they need to go to the gospel. Go share the gospel message with them. When you see a need within the church, it's a calling by God to get active and meet that need. Now that does not mean that whatever God has laid on your heart, First Baptist Church is responsible for developing a program for. So before you write down all of your ministry ideas and come to our next church council meeting or submit them on your reach card and you fill out 3 of them because you've got all these great ideas, that doesn't mean the church needs to be busier. Instead, the people within the church need to get busier. God's put on your heart an outreach in town. Why don't you get involved and start working in that outreach? So our question of who is responsibility to serve, whose responsibility is it to do the work? Who is responsible? The answer is you. God has gifted you. God has given you that passion and that ministry. And Jesus looks at the disciples and says, you get busy and give them something to eat. But our second question relates to our own inadequacies, because when God gives us a ministry, oftentimes we're unable to do anything about it. We're looking at 12,000 people, Jesus, and you want us to feed them? You're saying that's my responsibility? Have you ever had a ministry where you've thought this task is overwhelming? Something God's put in your path and you've said, I don't see how any possible way this can get done. And so we ask ourselves, who is responsible to supply? All right, God, I'm responsible to serve, but I don't have enough fish and bread. I don't have enough giftedness, enough talent. I don't have enough resources. God, what you're putting in front of me seems impossible. Who is responsible to give the supply to meet the needs that God has put on your heart? I think it's important then to look at Luke 9 in the context of the entire chapter. That's why we read those first 2 verses. I love Luke 9, verse 1. Summoning the 12, he, Jesus gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. Before Jesus sends them out and says, go and do, he sits down with them and gives his power to them. The song we sang this morning, didn't plan it. Becky didn't know what this message was on, right? The song we sang this morning, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. Amen. That's the application Jesus is sharing here. You've seen me heal. You've seen me minister. You've seen me go out. You've seen me cast out demons. Now you go and do it. You have my power, my ability. Notice when Jesus recognizes the problem, the disciples recognize the problem and they come to Jesus. Send them away. And Jesus says, you feed them. Notice who hands the food out. But notice who gives it to the disciples. Look in Luke chapter 9, verse 16. Then he, Jesus, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them. Then he kept giving them to the disciples to set before the crowd. Here we see a picture of the disciples doing the serving. The people of Christ getting involved and working. But who is supplying? It's Jesus who is constantly handing it out. What a picture of how ministry should be done. You and I are called to be the hands and the feet of Christ. How you and I are called to get busy and get working. When God puts a ministry on our heart, we are to go and to move into action. And when we're worried about how God's going to provide and supply it and how our needs are going to be met, we remember that the same power that Jesus Christ used to perform the miracles is the power He's working in and through us. The bottom line is the church doesn't need more ministry programs. It needs more ministry people. It doesn't need to be more busy with things. It needs the people in the church being active and ministering. It needs us recognizing that Jesus Christ has saved us, forgiven us, and given us a task. And so this morning, as we think about what God may have laid out in front of you, what path your life is headed down, the direction God is nudging you and pushing you, and you look and you say, I don't know that I can handle it, God. I don't know that I'm ready. We remember that God has given us a ministry, made us responsible, and He is supplying all of our needs. Maybe this morning you sit there and you feel overwhelmed because what your life is, the direction your life is headed, the path that you're walking down doesn't seem to be one that you're able to handle. And you don't recognize the power that Jesus has given you. Maybe this morning for the first time you need to realize that we're going to have moments in our life where we're called to feed 10 to 12,000 people spiritually or maybe in some other capacity. Maybe you need to realize there are times in your life that you're going to be overwhelmed and an impossible task is going to be in front of you. And if you don't have the supply, the relationship, the close bond with Christ, the salvation that He gives, you'll be unable to meet that need. Maybe this morning you don't need another program. You don't need another action. You just need to submit yourself to the will of God, to trust Him to save you, to forgive your sins and give you a new direction. Maybe this morning you simply need to pray, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Forgive me for not doing it and help me to live my life to do it every day from here on out. This morning we ask the questions, who is responsible to serve? The answer is you, believer. Who is responsible to supply? The answer is Jesus Christ. And our last question we have to ask is will you be faithful and do what He's called you to do? This morning, all the questions you have about God, how is this going to work? Who is going to do this? Jesus looks at you and says, you, get busy and do what I've called you to do. As we come to our time of invitation, I invite you to close your eyes and bow your head and think about what God has put before you. Or what do you want me to do with my life? And then ask yourself, am I willing to trust that God will supply and meet all of my needs to accomplish what He's calling me to? Let's pray together.